This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
From Leonard, are you insane? You've never given out every side and every total on a day. No, I haven't. I don't think I have. Maybe I have. I mean, it's Thanksgiving. You got to have action on the games, especially when the games are crappy games. At least the first two are. I mean, anybody that bets understands, you know. This isn't the, it's on Monday Night Football, you have to play it in chase mode. This is the beginning of one of the best weekends of the year in sports. All the football tomorrow, all the college football on Friday, plus an NFL game on Friday, all of the football on Saturday, on Rivalry Saturday for college football, and then a full NFL slate on Sunday, ending on Monday night. All right, power rankings, Denton. Doing it a day early because we are off tomorrow. I got Detroit still at 1. I've got Kansas City at 2. That's probably wishful thinking, but I still would not want to be on the other side of them in the postseason. Philly's 3 for me. I contemplated putting Philly 2. It certainly seems like Detroit and Philadelphia have separated themselves in the NFC, although maybe Green Bay and Minnesota. Certainly Green Bay, they might have something to say about that when we get to the postseason. I got Buffalo at 4, and I've kicked Pittsburgh out of my top 5 and put Baltimore into it. The Ravens needed a win, and they got one impressively Monday night in L.A. against the Chargers. Man, you talk about a venue, by the way, that creates no home field advantage for the two L.A. teams. Is there, in the history of, you know, the NFL anyway, less of a home field advantage than SoFi for the two teams that play there?
FedEx the last 10 years.
Phoenix, you'd say?
No, FedEx the last 10 years.
FedEx, yeah. I mean, understood. But that literally, there's a reason for it at FedEx. The reason, the Rams have been a Super Bowl team. The Chargers are a decent team. They just don't care about pro football in Southern California.
They have that one lady that goes viral every time they play. You know the one I'm talking about?
No. For Rams games or Chargers games?
Chargers games, it is. They, like, always show her. She went viral again for whatever reason. She, like, cheers way too hard. to be a Chargers fan because they don't have real fans.
It when you play with the Chargers and the Rams, you have to realize you're playing for a team that will play basically 17 road games. Because more times than not, it is a disadvantage at home. You're not the home, you know, and why, like, yes, Washington's faced that for 5, 6, 7, 8 years or whatever it's been, maybe even longer than that. And hopefully that starts to change. But I don't know if it will change in LA. You know, the Rams were originally in Los Angeles. Actually, I think they were originally in Cleveland, and then became the Los Angeles Rams for many, many years, then moved to St. Louis, as we know, back to LA. And there at least is some L.A. tradition, and there are Charger fans, I would assume, that make the trek north to go to Charger games at SoFi. But have you noticed at any point in time since SoFi opened up either one of those teams having a home field advantage?
Never.
Hell, the 49ers in that NFC Championship game, that was a road game for the Rams. In that playoff game,
I mean, those two teams could play each other and not have a home field advantage.
The 49ers have a decent home field advantage even in Santa Clara.
No, I mean the Rams and the Chargers. They could play one another in SoFi and not have a home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, who would they root for? Okay.
They'll have more Niners jerseys, more Seahawks jerseys, something crazy.
Detroit, KC, Philly, Buffalo. Yeah, it's almost like an international game crowd. Detroit, KC, Philly, Buffalo, Baltimore. My top five. What's yours?
I'm gonna go with. I have Detroit at one. I'm gonna keep Buffalo at number two. I think they're playing really well. You know, Kansas City knows how to win. There's no doubt about that, which is why I have them at number three. You know, the way that they beat Carolina was like a classic Kansas City win this year, but there's something about Buffalo that I think they have things rolling, so I'm going to keep them at two. I'll take Kansas City at three, and then I have Philadelphia at four. It is weird. I mean, I think since I've been doing this show with you, this is the closest that the top four have been. I mean, there was a point last year where I think we had the same four teams on a weekly basis, but it feels like these ones are all super close. Like, I could see Philadelphia beating any of the teams ahead of them and vice versa in that group, so I think those are super close. And then I'm going to put the Packers at number five. You know, yeah. I was debating between them and the Ravens, and I think Lamar played really well this Monday against Los Angeles. But I like the way the Packers' offense is moving. And I know that San Francisco was hurt, and they didn't have Brock Purdy. And offensively, they've been super limited this year because of a lot of the injuries. But they went and hung 38 on them. I thought that was really, really impressive. So as long as Jordan Love cuts down on the turnovers, because he is a gunslinger, he will throw some throws that you're like, dude, please don't. Sometimes I'm sure Packers fans are watching that dude through finger goggles, but I'm going to pick the Packers at number five.
Yeah, they're really good. They're good defensively, too. All right, just a mention to a team that, you know, I think the last couple of weeks we've both talked about Tampa and their opportunity to make a run in the NFC South. I wouldn't discount New Orleans right now. You know, they're tough defensively. They've got an outstanding player, obviously, in Alvin Kamara. He has played great this year. This game Sunday against the Rams will determine whether or not the Saints are actually playing for stakes down the stretch or just playing out the string. I know the two wins over Atlanta and, you know, Atlanta's field goal kicker missed three kicks in that game. They beat the Browns. It was tied in the fourth quarter. I know it's not overly impressive, but they've just been different since Derek Carr's come back. Do they get Olave back this week? I don't know if they do or not, but the Saints are capable, fully healthy. Remember before the season started, Aaron Schatz, DVOA inventor, told us, I said, give me the team that you really think will overperform. And he said he thought New Orleans would overperform and that they would win the NFC South. And they just had a ton of injuries and they lost their quarterback for a while. I'm not the biggest Derek Carr guy, but he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. And this game Sunday against the Rams is huge for them. I mean, you would think, well, why? Well, if they beat the Rams then are in a little bit of free fall, and the Saints all of a sudden have won three in a row, and they're back to within two games of 500 with the Giants next up. And then they're looking at that Washington game at home, and Washington doesn't look like they did before, and that becomes a crucial game. I think the Saints are going to be an interesting team to watch the rest of the way. They made the coaching change. They seem to be rejuvenated. They're not lacking in talent on that team in playmaking ability with, you know, Taysom Hill and Kamara and Olave, etc. I could see them making a bit of a run back into this thing in that Washington game on December 15th being a game that, you know, is like pick 'em going in. I could see that. You got a team to keep an eye on?
I hope what you just said is not true. I'm going to pick Minnesota.
Well, if they win the next two,
it will.
That's
be.
The line. Yeah. I'm calling it right now. It's pick 'em.
I like Minnesota. I'm just keeping an eye on them. I thought they were going to crumble once they started losing. I mean, they lost, what, two in a row at the early point after starting 5-0? I thought that was going to break them, and they've responded really well to that, winning four in a row. So they put together a couple of really good win streaks. So I'm gonna look at Minnesota as they might be the real deal when I thought they were going to collapse.
They have to have one of the weakest schedules of the season, right? Let me see what the updated schedule strength, because, God, they don't play anybody each week, it doesn't seem like. As of the easiest schedules in 20, based on projected win, this is before the season started. I don't have the updated information.
They got the Cardinals this weekend, which should be a fun one. We'll see how much Kyler wants to run. They got the Cardinals this weekend. We'll see how much Kyler wants to run. I feel like he didn't run a lot against Seattle.
Their schedule the rest of the way is tough, but when they lost those two games to the Lions and Rams, they've got wins over the Colts, Jags, Titans, and Bears. Earlier in the season, they had the Giants. They had the Jets. They had the 40. Well, they beat the 49ers and Texans and Packers. So, but man, that middle of the schedule that they just ran off four in a row, that's pretty good. Three of them were on the road too, and they were losable games. Minnesota's interesting, man. They are interesting. Well coached, though. O'Connell and Brian Flores have turned out to be quite the combination. That game Sunday against the Cardinals is a huge game. They have three straight at home. You know, Denton, is it possible that the season comes down to Minnesota at Detroit for the division? It's possible.
It's possible.
Detroit's got a brutal schedule.
Yeah, they got Buffalo still, right? Not this weekend, obviously, but next weekend, I think.
They have Buffalo. They have the Niners on the road. They still play the Packers. They play the Vikes.
I don't know if that Niners game is going to be all that big of a deal.
Yeah, you know, but it's maybe not. Doesn't look that way right now.
Yeah, especially, well, I guess that's going to be at the end of the season, so that might be something. But then you have the Vikings. Yeah, that Vikings game could be for a lot.
Minnesota keeps winning. I mean, it could come down to a season ender. Can you imagine if you've got two teams sitting there with two losses, like 2-14 and two teams playing final weekend of the year, or, you know, 13-3, whatever it would be?
I definitely feel like if that game means something, that it's going to be the division, not the bye. I think if Detroit is at the point where they have not locked up the division by then, I think Philadelphia will surpass them as the one seed.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy because Philly still has, you know, Ravens on the road. They have the Steelers. They have to come here. But they also have the Panthers, Cowboys, and Giants. I mean, Philly right now with 9 wins, they are staring at a minimum of 12 wins. I mean, they have the Cowboys and Giants and Panthers all in Philly. So that gets them to 12. I mean, let's call it now. Philly's winning the division because Washington's not getting to 12. At this point,
no,
they're not winning 12. 5 of their final 6, more likely than not.
No, after what we have seen the last 4 weeks, no,
probably not. Philly, it's kind of hard to think that Philly's not going to win the division when they've got 3 home games left against the Panthers, Cowboys, and Giants. They also play the Steelers at home. Their road games are this Sunday at Baltimore. What a game that'll be! And then at Washington on the 22nd of December. All right, we're going to carry some Dan Quinn at 12:30. We'll do some NFL burning questions from Denton when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.